and the translation. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatavarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Purport. The magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this very important verse. Although he was born in Bengal, and Bengalis therefore have a special duty toward him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis, but all the inhabitants of India. It is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed. Human life is especially meant for God realization, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Anyone who takes birth in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, has the special privilege of being able to take advantage of the instruction and guidance of the Vedic civilization. He automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. Put your hand up if you were actually born in India. Okay. Let your chest swell with pride at the next part that we're going to read. For 99.9% of the Indian people, even simple village farmers, any simple village farmers here, and others who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his representative. These ideas are the natural inheritance of a person born in India. India has many holy places of pilgrimage, such as Gaya, Banaras, Mathura, Prayag, Vrindavan, Haridwar, Rameshwaram, and Jagannath Puri. And still people go there by the hundreds and thousands. Although the present leaders of India are influencing the people not to believe in God, this was written in 1975, not to believe in a next life, and not to believe in a distinction between pious and impious life, and they are teaching them how to drink wine, eat meat, and become supposedly civilized, people are nevertheless afraid of the four activities of sinful life, namely illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. And whenever there is a religious festival, they gather together by the thousands. Prabhupada said, people are nevertheless afraid of those religious principles. I wonder what he means. Let's discuss that in a little bit. We have actual experience of this, says Srila Prabhupada. Whenever the Krishna consciousness movement holds a Sankirtan festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, Ahmedabad, or Hyderabad, thousands of people come to hear. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, they nevertheless come to hear us. Even when imitation incarnations of Godhead speak, people gather in thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principles of spiritual life. They merely need to be a little more educated in the Vedic principles. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janma, Sarataka Kari Kara Para Upakar. If an Indian is educated in the Vedic principles, he is able to perform the most beneficial welfare activity for the entire world. Okay, we're halfway through. Are you still listening attentively? Okay, then I'll complete it. At present, very important, next part, for want of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, the entire world is in darkness, having been covered by the four principles of sinful life, meat-eating, illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. Therefore, there is a need for vigorous propaganda to educate people to refrain from sinful activities. This will bring peace and prosperity. The rogues, thieves, and debauchees will naturally decrease in number, and therefore, all of human society will be God-conscious. The practical effect of our spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is that now the most degraded debauchees are becoming the most elevated saints. This is only one Indian's humble service to the world. Prabhupada is talking about himself. If all Indians had taken to this path, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, India would have given a unique gift to the world, and thus India would have been glorified. Now, however, India is known as a poverty-stricken country, and whenever anyone from America or another opulent country goes to India, he sees many people lying by the footpath for whom there are not even provisions for two meals a day. There are also institutions collecting money from all parts of the world in the name of welfare activities for poverty-stricken people. But they are spending it for their own sense gratification. Now, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna consciousness movement has been started and people are benefiting from this movement. Therefore, it is now the duty of the leading men of India to consider the importance of this movement and train many Indians to go outside of India to preach this cult. People will accept it. There will be cooperation among the Indian people and among the other people of the world, and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will then be glorified all over the world, and people will naturally be happy, peaceful, and prosperous, not only in this life, but also in the next. For as stated in Bhagavad Gita, anyone who understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will very easily get salvation, or freedom from the repetition of birth and death, and go back home, back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore requests every Indian to become a preacher of his cult to save the world from the disastrous confusion. This is not only the duty of Indians, okay, but the duty of everyone. And we are very happy that American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all of human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35, which is next quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will quote that. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. That's the next verse. Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shiloka Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Any questions or comments? In this one purport, Prabhupada says everything. It is really the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. The movement of the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, sometimes you have bowels, but you don't have a movement. The bowels are there, and they're there for a particular purpose. They're meant to keep, what's it called? Peristalsis? It's meant to keep things going down the alimentary canal from here to somewhere down there. That's the idea of the bowels. You know, it's the throat, esophagus, the stomach, then the large intestine, small intestine. That's what it does. It processes elements of food substance, extracts the nutrition, and then expels it. Okay? That's a movement. However, sometimes you get constipation. Constipation means when the movement is not moving, when nothing's happening. It's shaped like a machine for moving things, but it's not moving. Nothing's happening. Constipation leads to what? It leads to consternation. Okay? And it leads to irritation. I had a chemistry teacher. Consternation means, I don't know what's happening with me. I better go and see the doctor. You can get hot flushes. You can feel all kinds of symptoms. Can't you, doctor? Okay? You get all kinds of symptoms. And then you have to go and see the doctor. So I just don't know what's wrong with me. So, this is called constipation. Forgive me the prolonged physical metaphor here. But in such a case, then you have to have something which is a laxative. You have to say, let's do this. Something that under normal circumstances you would not eat or drink. But you do, and then things start moving again. So sometimes you have an organization to spread Krishna consciousness. And an organization like ours is like the bowels. It's not actually, you know, it's not actually an organization as such. It's a movement. It's meant to do something. It's meant to spread, to give, to distribute. This is what the whole section is about. If you go right back to the beginning of the chapter, this is text 41, you'll find it's like a tree. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the antecedents of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the gurus who came before him, and the whole procedure of giving Krishna consciousness to the world is like a wonderful tree. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, started naming the branches. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not only, you know, the person who brings the tree, the trunk of the tree, the fruit of the tree, and the distributor of the fruit of the tree, but he's also the gardener as well. We have him on all levels. So this is his movement, and it is meant to be moving. But the thing about this movement is that it only moves when it's working properly. When it's not working properly, it becomes an organization, which is rather like a constipated large intestine. It looks like one, but is not doing the job of one. And what is the difference here? The difference is that if your bhakti is contaminated by karma or jnana or yoga, you will go from being part of the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the organization of Krishna. That's good too. But the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically, as it says in these verses, to pick the fruit and distribute the fruit. That's the whole point. If it were not, Krishna would not have needed to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna comes, Krishna himself, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to distribute that which he could not give. He gets to the end of his discussions with Arjuna. He says, Sarva Dharmam Paricharya, surrender and I'll protect you. That's the end of the Bhagavad Gita. It closes there. That's the end of 700 verses. You know, and Arjuna takes that option, and the rest is there in the Mahabharata. Some years later, Lord Krishna has an opportunity to speak again, not to a warrior in the middle of battle, but he speaks to Uddhava. And whereas he doesn't have a great deal of time with Arjuna, he speaks 700 verses. With Uddhava, it's 1,200 verses. And he's telling Uddhava stories about, you know, you see in Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipate na, find a saintly person. And he gives some clue as to a saintly person. With Uddhava, he gets into the details of who you're looking for. And Krishna tells the story of, you know, very interesting. With Arjuna, he just says, find a guru and surrender to the guru. Arjuna doesn't, you know, there's a little bit of discussion there on that subject. With Uddhava, Krishna tells three stories. He tells three stories about the progressive spiritual life of a person in this world. And it's very interesting. So he has a little bit more time. But as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna comes to give that which he didn't give before. And he comes and he takes the fruit of all the Vaishnava sampradayas and he distributes that. And in this verse, we find that verse here, someone in the land of India, of course this is the life member making verse par excellence. All the devotees in the past would learn this verse and they would say, your job, having been born in India, is to make your life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. And that means you should become a life member of the Krishna consciousness movement. That's one option. These days, we don't just say that, do we? We should say, you should take this bead bag and you should chant and you should become an initiated member of the Krishna consciousness movement. You see? Not that simply India and Indians are a resource for the Americans and Europeans. No. What do you think, Ramanuja? I'm stirring up you. But actually that India should become a repository of initiated Vaishnavas who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then and only then will they go all over the world. Because unless you become a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how can you become a preacher? You see the difference? See the difference? You really see the difference? So there's this wave. There's this wave. One Indian came to America. He sat underneath a tree, played cartels, played a set of bongo drums that someone had, chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. And then, second wave, he went back to India, took the dancing white elephants with him. They danced, they jumped up and down. And the Indian said, "How marvelous, an American who jumps up and down. He's wearing dhoti, very good." Okay. Well, he's doing a lot more than wearing dhoti. He's learning how to be a Vaishnava. So I remember the day when I used to tell people, and do you know that this Krishna consciousness movement has 10 temples in India? And I used to go to Indians' homes and they would go, wow, very good. I mean, Bhaktivedanta Swamiji has taken the movement to America, now you Americans have started 10 temples in India. Wow, very good. Now there are 10 temples in just one city, Delhi. Delhi is now on its 10th temple. How many temples in India? All of India? Huh? I know there's at least 75 listed in Back to Godhead magazine. But they're opening all the time. So there is that effect. So now what we want to happen is we want all the Indians in India who go to these temples to become first-class preachers of Krishna consciousness, and then to be sent all over the world to the places where Krishna consciousness is not happening. What about that? Including America? Including Europe? What about that? What about another wave of Indians coming from India preaching Krishna consciousness? How would that suit us? Okay? Would that be a challenge for us? You Europeans, would it be a challenge for you? I don't think so. And in this way, the waves of bhakti keep flashing backwards and forwards across the world. We have no idea what's going to happen. If someone told me many years ago that one day there would be 12,000 devotees in a kirtan in Russia, I would have never, ever thought that. I went to Russia in 1979. I just got as far as the airport. And I thought I was really being brave by going around the airport by the, you know, the arrivals lounge with a pair of cartels chanting Hare Krishna and distributing 3 Bhagavad Gitas that had just been printed outside Russia. 4 Russians, we smuggled them in, and I thought, oh, I'm being very brave. If I get caught, what will they do? This is completely illegal. And it is completely illegal, and 7-8 of them got caught, and several of them were not, were punished very severely. We have devotees who are risking their lives to spread Krishna consciousness. Even today, even in Europe, we have devotees who go down south of Italy, and in the south of Italy, Madhusevita was telling me, one of the the mafia people got very upset, and they machine gunned the Sankirtan truck as a devotee was sleeping inside. Bullet holes all along the Sankirtan truck. These people are collecting too much money on the street. selling these books and collecting too much money. They should understand that this part of Italy belongs to us. But the devotees are very brave. They take great risks to take Prabhupada's books and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to different places. So the point is, we have no idea what surprises are in store. Absolutely no idea. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to be the fruit distributors for the next wave of Krishna consciousness. Now, the wonderful thing about being a distributor of fruit is that when a person has had the fruit, they throw away the seed. And then the seed grows again. The seed grows again. And, the most wonderful thing is that when the seed grows again and that person becomes a Vaishnava, then that Vaishnava also distributes the fruits. If he or she understands the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, it is possible to rise to your own particular limits and then not move forward. This is a difficulty. If you don't rise forward than your own self-imposed limits, you will stay there for a very long time. It's very easy to have a cruise control in Krishna consciousness. Often, it's composed of two things. The level that you rose to in your last life. The level of bhakti that you developed in your last life. And very quickly, people come to bhakti. Have you noticed? People come very quickly. Some people come, they come very quickly. And they take to Krishna consciousness. And then they sort of plateau. Plateau. It's a nice word, isn't it? Plateau. They come up the cliff face and they stay for a very long time. And they don't move forward. Because moving forward takes an extra aspect of surrender. It takes, and surrender is composed of two things. It's composed of, well, I could explain it philosophically in a different way, as you all could. But surrender, for the purposes of this particular class, is composed of two things. One is your philosophical understanding of your position and the company that you keep. And sometimes both of these are in short supply with people who come to the Krishna consciousness movement. In the old days, we had a system that everybody in the movement was in a temple. And the reason for that was that Prabhupada wanted to make his disciples very rapidly advanced. And it's very difficult to live in a temple. Somebody was telling me, I was up in Scotland recently, and temple president Prabhupada Pran was telling me that he used to take groups of congregational devotees to India. And I said, yes, I also used to take groups of congregational. He said, now I've stopped. He said, yes, now I've stopped. And I said, you tell me why you've stopped, and I'll tell you why I've stopped. And he said, because they fight. He says, they fight. He said, because no one, it seems, can live together in cramped circumstances for a very long time. Even in India. Even doing something wildly exciting. He said, if they have to be on a train together, or cramped up in a room with a person that they don't know, or share the shower, or be on a bumpy bus, or sit in a taxi squeezed with three in the back, and they don't particularly know the person, it's very difficult. And then everybody wants downtime. They want to, you know, they want to go somewhere else. They want to go off in this direction. Sometimes I would say to people that taking a group of congregation members to India is like herding peacocks. Peacocks don't travel in a herd. They're all independently thoughtful people. They don't go. So we have a situation where what Prabhupada was created was life in the ashrams, and life in ashrams meant communal Krishna consciousness. So when people have communal Krishna consciousness, when they come together in a community, they learn very rapidly. They learn very rapidly. Like if you want to polish gems. If you want to polish rough gems, you put them all together in a drum with some grit and water, and you switch on the drum, and it goes around and around, and after a week you come and they're all polished. They're polished by bumping into each other. They're polished by the grit. So what is the grit? The grit is living together with other devotees. Really hard thing to do. But if you do it, you'll become a polished gem. So this was the ISKCON movement. Now that people, 95% of people, do not live together with other devotees. So sometimes they don't become as polished. Sometimes they hear about, associating with devotees, and they may do it once a month, but only if it's comfortable. 50% of our congregation go to congregational groups, and of that, only 50% turn up regularly. It means that you may not get the benefit of devotee association, but you may just come to the temple in an established pattern of worship that was given to you by your grandmother, usually. That's usually the guru of the family is the grandmother. And you come and you have darshan and you put the coin in the box and you take prasad and you socialize a bit and then you go home. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, coming to the temple is not eye exercise. deities, devotees. He said, it is not I exercise. Rather, you should try to listen to something. So, we should always be very conscious of what the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading. What fruits are we distributing? Because those fruits may be acculturated to worship patterns that were there long before the Krishna consciousness movement took shape. People may come and have their different understandings of bhakti unchallenged. And the significance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may, 20 years, 30 years, people may not know who he is. Guaranteed that many, many people who come to this temple on a Sunday don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after coming here for 20 or 30 years. Now, that says something. Either people are coming to Bhaktivedanta Manor and the message is not getting out, or the people who are meant to be giving the message have become somehow compromised by the people that are coming to hear the message. So somewhere in all that, the fruit of the tree of the Krishna consciousness movement is not being distributed, not being consumed. I'm not saying in all situations, but there's a great urgency for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission to be understood. Now, bhakti that's covered by karma will devolve into a type of good works. Good works. And some higher aspirations for a life after this. Okay? But it won't be constituted on the basic principles of bhakti, which is to receive bhakti in Kali Yuga is an act of great mercy, causeless mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is that achieved? When the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself comes to distribute the process for becoming Krishna conscious. If you take advantage of that process, then you've captured the essence of his message. Or it may be the message of bhakti may be occluded by jnana, which means that people get into philosophy, but they don't get into other things. We have people who are reading these books, but they've never had the thrill of sharing those books with others. Practically speaking, these are Prabhupada's messages. If you want to practice the Krishna consciousness movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the gardener of that tree of devotional service gave it to the world, then you follow the follower who's following the follower who's following the follower. So Prabhupada said, six things you do. Harinam, book distribution. It's very simple. Hasn't changed. There's no new philosophy that's going to take that place. Harinam Sankirtan, which means that you physically go on the street. You take the Harinam to another place or to people who have not yet heard it. Could be the street, could be a library, home, school, like that, a hall. You talk with people. You distribute prasadam, distribute books, arrange programs so that people can gain A, the association of devotees, and the philosophy of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because I'll tell you one thing. Other philosophies are rife. Other philosophies are being heard. Other philosophies are being practiced. They're Krishna-related, but they're not the fruit of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have an option. We have an option. We can take it upon ourselves to do that, or someone else can do it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may work through the movement that was established by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, or he can work through other movements. There's no limitation. We're just one branch of that tree. There are many other branches and branches of those branches. If this one is unsuccessful, Prabhupada in 1966, when he was establishing ISKCON, he said, we have established ISKCON to support the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, if it is unsuccessful, then what can we do? So the movement goes on. It's just that ISKCON may not be part of that movement. And that would be a great shame, because that's what it was started to do. So in different parts of the world, in many parts of the world, ISKCON is still very much part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and in some parts it isn't. Some parts it isn't. Some parts it is dried up. Some parts it is constipated. Some parts it is dust. And in some places it has vanished. So, how to keep that fruit healthy? Well, all trees need water. Fresh water. Here you are. Fresh water. You have to keep drinking. So the fresh drinking is understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and receive it. Practically speaking, it's on offer for everyone. It's on offer for everyone. You just have to receive it. So in this particular purport, Prabhupada is going really strongly about the movement of Krishna consciousness and how it is important that the people of India understand its importance. Why the people of India? Because he says he qualifies it. He says, why the people of India? Because 99.9% of the people of India have some attraction for God. They have some natural fear of the sinful activities, you see. And they have some natural tendency to gather and hear discussions about God consciousness. And he says he has practical experience. And they have some training in the Vedas. The Vedas are vast. And they have many different messages in the Vedas. And if you don't know, you'll get very confused, because in one part of the Vedas it says, everyone should worship the gods. You should worship the gods because they give you rain, they give you sunlight, they give you the wind, they give you very life itself. They've given you your very body. So when you're born into this world, you have a debt. Having received the human form of life, you have a debt. You should worship the gods. You should worship Surya. You should worship Ganesh to remove obstacles on your path. You should worship Lord Shiva. You should worship the matron of this world, Durga. And then we get to the Upanishads, and we find anyone who worships the gods is vipashchita. Vipashchita. Foolish. They're foolish. Well, it's all the Vedas. We follow the Vedas. Well, in the Vedas say this, and the Vedas say that. Well, the Vedas, you know, a doctor gives a prescription. You came to him last week, he gave you a prescription. This week, you expect the same prescription? No. He says, well, you seem to be making a rapid recovery. I'll give you this prescription. Well, you're a doctor, I think you're cheating me. Because last week, you gave me double the dose. This week, you're giving me half of what you gave me last week. Come on, I want the full treatment. No, he's giving what you need. So according to what you need, you'll find the right Vedic portion for you. The Vedas are not absolute. We are not, if you like, there's no absolutism. There's more of a departmentalism with the Vedas according to who you are. But in Kali Yuga, you don't have a very long time. Life is short. In fact, life is always shorter than you think. It will always catch you out. Oh, I didn't think I was going to die this week. And nobody does. Even someone on death row, he hopes against hope that there'll be a stay of execution. Death always comes as a surprise, especially if you're young. Always. It's always a surprise, even if you're old. I knew I was going to die sometime, but I didn't know it was going to be now. Death is always now. Because there is only one thing, now. There's only one thing, now. When's the time for becoming Krishna conscious?
Now.
When is the time for distributing the fruits of Krishna consciousness?
Now.
Yeah, very simple. Don't wait. If you wait, it may not come. You'll be like the duck that goes underneath the back of the bull, looking up, thinking, uh-huh. The fish will fall very soon. But he's an illusion. There's no fish, and it's not going to fall off. Prabhupada said, don't be like that duck. He said, there is no, don't always think that it's going to happen at some point in the future. You know, your business is now, making it happen. And don't think that it's someone else that's going to make the Krishna consciousness movement move. It's not. You are the Krishna consciousness movement. It's you. I'm sorry to be a surprise for you. But the person who was created, oh my God, the person who is the next generation of the Krishna consciousness movement is sitting here in this room. Or perhaps listening at home, having your toast. But the next generation is here in this room. We are it. And you may look in the mirror when you put on your tilak and you may think to yourself, well, I'm glad someone else is preaching this Krishna consciousness movement. I'm glad it doesn't have to be me. But if everybody thinks like that, what will happen? Nothing. Exactly nothing. So it's you. It is you. I didn't know in 1974 when I sat over there and chanted my first round and forgot the words that one day I could identify myself with this purport, because a year later I was one of those people who were distributing Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada came here, and there was 15 of us. He brought us in, just 15 of us on that particular day. And he looked at everyone in the eyes, and he said, thank you very much for helping me spread this movement. Of course, we were all thinking, me? He was just saying that to me. Thank you for helping me spread this movement. And I said, wow, Prabhupada just thanked us for spreading the movement. I mean, all we're doing is selling his books. But that's what it means. That's what it means. He needed helpers. Because Prabhupada's problem was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's problem. Prabhupada had no spiritual problems, but he had physical problems. He was 70. And even if he wasn't 70, even if he was 28, he would still have the same problem as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many places? To how many people can I distribute this? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, he says, I order everyone to distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And then he says this verse that we've just been reading today. So if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna coming for Kali Yuga, and if he says that his order is not just Sarvadharma and Pratyajar, but to take the Krishna consciousness and give it to everybody, then the religion for Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga is giving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message to everyone. That's the religion. If you ask a Muslim, what is your religion? He'll say, well, I read the Quran, I do namaz 5 times a day, I do zakat, I do, you know, follow Eid, and I do. He can name you all the different things that his religion commands him to do. If you ask a Roman Catholic, what's your religion? He or she will say, well, you know, I go to Mass, I go to the rite of Christian initiation for adults, I learn the catechism, I, you know, make confession, I celebrate all the main festivals of the church. Okay? If you ask a member of the Krishna consciousness movement, what is your religion? What is your religion? That devotee has to say, not only I read Bhagavad Gita, read Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, there's 4 regulated principles, we chant 16 rounds a day, full stop. That person has to say, I worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I execute his order of taking the fruits of love of God and I distribute them everywhere I go. That is the religion that we practice. And it's a very important detail, because if you don't practice that aspect of the religion, you haven't got it. You're not a member of that religion. You may be a member of Balabhacharya's religion, who also worships Krishna. You may be a worshipper of Vishnu Swami, who also worships Krishna. You may be a worshipper of Madhvacharya. Okay, I'm in the Madhva Sampradaya, I worship Krishna, who also worships Krishna. You may be a follower of Ramanujacharya, who also worships Krishna. But you won't be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to look at our life and we have to say, have I received that mango that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing? And am I giving it to others? Because if I'm not, then I'm not part of that religion. That's what it means, because that's his order. Okay? Any questions or comments?